faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to thank God this morning and also thank the church hierarchy and leadership for giving me an opportunity to come and speak to us on this Health Sunday. And this morning, I'm born again. And I feel the time that has gone so far, I feel sometimes like this man called Winston Churchill, who was one time invited to speak into a parade, military passing parade, passing out parade. And the people there were expecting him to talk too much because he was oratory in his approach of things. And when they sat down to listen like you have done, he said, never, never, never give up. And he sat down. I feel almost like that because time has really gone. And someone that I prepared for 30 minutes, I may give it in 15 minutes. But I want you to read the summary of that sermon which is given in the first page of the bulletin. Even if I sit down and you look at that page, you'll have all the sermon. Now, today is Health Sunday, and Health Sunday, we remember that it is time for us, our minds, and to put our minds and our hearts together, thinking about matters health. And there is a lot of interest in health issues, particularly now that we have so many diseases. We have cancer, like we are talking about in the last page of the bulletin, cervical cancer. We have non-communicable diseases, like we have been told by the person who was reading, Dr. Ndahi. So many diseases, and there is a lot of information out there. You know, things you are told, buy this supplement, buy the other, and mix them in this fashion. And there is a lot of hunger. People wanting to improve their lives or even increasing their days on earth by their own effort. And as far as drugs go, you'll hear drugs like a particular drug. It is FDA approved. That means Food and Drug Administration approved. Others, you are told, they are BP approved. BP means British Pharmacopoeia. You know, the things that, the way they handle the drugs. So all these things are FDA or BP approved. And locally here, we may hear things like KBS, the Kenya Bureau of Standards, approved. But we forget, is there a method that is God approved? Is there a method that is God approved? And I'm here to tell you, yes, there is. And we have read about three people who were healed in miraculous ways. One of them was a king, King Hezekiah, the part that we have read. And the other one is the woman who was having bleeding problem. And it is actually coincidental that we are giving the health nugget this week about cervical cancer. And then we have this person who was bleeding. And the other one is the girl, the 12-year-old girl who actually died waiting for Jesus to come. And when we look at these three, we'll find that prayer played a very big part. How? We look at Hezekiah. Hezekiah, when he was told he's going to die, by the way, he was only 39 years old. And 39-year-olds, even here in the congregation, they feel very strong, energetic. Death and them, they are very far apart. They cannot die because they feel strong. But this king was just 39 years old, and he's told, prepare your house, put your house in order, because you are going to die. And he prayed to God, and he said, remember, O Lord, how I have walked with you wholeheartedly and with full heart's devotion to you. And he wept bitterly. Then God responded. Although he had made up his mind that this man is going to die, he changed his mind. So God can change his mind when you pray. And he changed his mind, and he told this man, six I am going to do for you. One, he said, I'm going to heal you. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I'm going to heal you. I will deliver you from the hand of the Assyrian. And I'm going to add 15 years of life to your life. And I'm going to deliver this city from the hand of the Assyrians. So he got six things that he prayed for. Because when you read that, those days, the opening verse of that chapter says those days, it is because the Assyrians had put a siege around Jerusalem at that particular time. And then this man gets sick. Earlier on, in chapter 19, if you read that chapter, you'll find that when the Assyrians came, the king, and they had a very fast army, they brought a letter to King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was threatened that, what God will save you? What God will deliver you from my hand? And he was reminded of other cities or other towns that God had, Sennacherib had done a lot of evil. He had completely ruined them. So what God will save you? And what Hezekiah did, he took that letter, went to the temple and spread it before God and said, see what Sennacherib is saying. He is insulting the living God. And that night, an angel of the Lord went through the camp of the Assyrians. And in the morning, what Hezekiah saw was 185,000 men dead because the angel of the Lord went through their camp. Why? Because he prayed. And then the other person is Hannah. Remember the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, particularly first around 10-11, where Hannah prayed to God about her infertility. She had not had a child, and she was being taunted by Peninnah, her co-wife. And she went to God praying. And when Eli saw her mouth moving, he thought that she was drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk, I'm a woman of integrity, I've not taken wine, but I was pouring my heart or my soul to the Lord. And the other person is Elijah. In the face of so much evil in Israel, Elijah prayed that it should not rain for 3 years, 3.5 years. And God responded, it never rained. And in a country like Israel, which is agrarian, lack of rain for 3 years is like shutting the national economy. And it's because one man prayed. Come to the New Testament in Acts chapter 16, which says that Paul and Silas were beaten for saving and even releasing a girl from demon possession. And then they were so beaten so badly, and they were put in prison when they were still nursing their wounds. And at midnight, they were singing and praising God. At midnight, instead of sulking because of their being beaten, they were praising and singing to God, and all the other prisoners were listening. What happened? God caused a violent earthquake in that prison. All the doors were open, all their chains were loosed, and therefore, they didn't run away. God used that incident to make the prisoner, I mean the jailer, to come to the knowledge of God. So, how does prayer work? Prayer works in about six ways that I'm going to tell you. One is that you have to ask. You have to ask. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you receive, and knock the doors and they will be opened. So you have to ask. Number two, pray in the name of Jesus, as recorded in John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And I will do, Jesus now was saying, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Number three, asking according to the will of God. John 1 John 5, 14 and 15, which says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Number four, pray in faith, believing. In Matthew 21, verse 22, if you believe, you receive whatever you ask for in prayer. For faith creates, this is my own words, faith creates an atmosphere where miracles are the only thing that will happen. Number five, pray specifically. Be specific in what you're asking. Be specific so that when the answer comes, you do not say it is lack. No? Whatever you are asking, pray specifically. And number six, pray with another believer. Because Jesus said, whenever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. And he'll do whatever the two of them or three are asking. Because Jesus, when he is in heaven, he is still interceding for us, even now. So, which is the area of your life that is being attacked? Is it your finances? Is it your business? Is it your marriage? Is it your health? Or is it your children? Is it your emotions that are being affected or being attacked? Now we come to the second part of our message for today. This is prayer, and then the other one we are saying is that if you obey, then you'll recover. Number one, this man Hezekiah, king of Judah, he was asked to put a poultice. A poultice is like a lamp, something grounded maybe, and put on the part that was sick. He was asked to put it on his wood, and he recovered. So suppose he didn't do it, he would not have recovered. The other one that we know of is Naaman, king of Assyria. He was told to go and dip himself seven times in River Jordan, and he started complaining that, you know, we even have better rivers in our country than this one. And he agreed eventually to go and do what he was asked to do. Dip seven times in the river. And he dipped himself number one, number two, number three, he still had his leprosy. Number four, even number six, he still had his leprosy. Until he did it the way he was told, seven times. Seven in the Bible is a number of completion. He had to be completely obedient to what he was told. Seven times. When he did it the seventh time, he left the water, his leprosy had gone. The man born blind in John 9, verse 7. Jesus spit on the ground, took mud, he made a little mud with his hand, and he put it on his eyes. And he was told, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sand. Siloam means sand. And he went, and when he did what he was told, wash yourself in that pool, he came out seeing. He went home seeing. Number three, the 10 lepers, recorded in Luke chapter 17, verse 14. The Bible says that when they called up to Jesus, that have mercy on us, the 10 of them, they were told, go show yourself to the priests, because that was the routine, according to Levitical law, that they go and show themselves to the priests. What the Bible says is that as they went, they had not even reached to see the priests, as they went, because they obeyed. As they went, they were healed. They were cleansed. And only one of them went back to Jesus and told him, thank you for what you did. And the Bible says he was not even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. What about us? When you visit a doctor in the clinic or in the hospital, he listens to your story. He examines you and makes a diagnosis. Then he writes a piece of paper and tells you, this is your prescription. Go and take this medicine, one or two or three, and this is how you do it. The medicine, that paper is written, the medicine, what the name of the medicine is, how much of that medicine you are going to take, and for how long. If it is 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, or even a week or more. And suppose you just pick that paper and put it in your pocket. You will never get healed, no matter how much the doctor did for you. That is a useless piece of paper. Until you follow the instructions to the letter, then you get healed. So God uses three things to heal us. One is medicine. You can use medicine, whether it is herbal or even whether it is modern medicine. You can use healthy food. We have been told by the health professionals today that eating well is part of the healing process. Corporate prayer or individual prayer and fasting. And you can use any of these combinations. So what lessons do we learn today? One is that no one is immune to sickness or illness. No one is immune. It attacked the king, it attacked the woman who was bleeding, and number three, even the young girl who had died. It affects even good people. If you read about King Hezekiah, his father was very wicked, King Ahaz. And when he took over the reins of power at the age of 25, he turned the nation upside down. They had been led towards Baal, worship of Baal, but he turned them round. He was a good king. He did all the right things. And yet we see God as saying that you are going to die at his age. So even good people suffer. And this is sometimes what brings problems to Christians, because they say, I'm a Christian, I have been devoting myself all this time in church, why am I sick? And that sometimes, if you don't understand, if you are not deep in the word, you can go back. And the other one is that it is God's will to heal us. It is his will to heal us. Explained in Exodus chapter 15:26, which says that if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And Isaiah 53 verse 5, which says, but He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Number four, God answers prayers for healing. Hezekiah was healed. God healed Naaman, as we have said. God gave children to Hannah, who prayed about getting children. And the woman who had a bleeding problem touched Jesus, and she was healed. So he gives, and number five, God gives instructions for healing and expects us to follow them. And many people do not get healed because they ignore the instructions given in God's word. And in conclusion, we have seen that to God there is nothing impossible. Nothing is too hard or big or impossible. He is God Elohim, Lord God Almighty. He is the one who was, who is, and who is to come. When we pray, God sees our hearts, he hears our prayers, and acts according to his will. Why did God heal these people? One is because he still required them in his kingdom, in his vineyard. So God still required this girl who was raised from the dead. He still required King Hezekiah. That's why he added another 15 years to his life. One, he didn't have an heir. Those days, kingdom was spread through an heirship. You know? And it is said that after these 15 years, that's when he got a son who is called Manasseh. And Manasseh is the one who became the king at the age of 8 years. Although he became a very wicked king, but immediately after Manasseh, the next person, the grandfather of King Hezekiah, was King Josiah, who became also a good king. And sometimes things are difficult for us to understand. They stretch our imaginations, because revealed things belong to us, but those things that are hidden belong to God. And this is, I read with this story of a young girl, just as we have read about this young girl, who was speaking to her teacher. And the dialogue was like this, that it was about Jonah. The girl said that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And then the teacher said, no, it's not impossible for a whale to swallow a human being. Reason being that whales, although they are large animals, they are large mammals, that the throat is very small. So a human being cannot fit there. So this girl insisted, no. The Bible says that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, which must be a whale. And the teacher insisted, no, it is impossible. So to end the story, the girl said, when I go to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. And then the teacher said, what if Jonah went to hell? Then the girl said, you go and ask him. So you can now see the teacher is the one who was being taught by this young girl. And to remind us again, like last Sunday, and I keep repeating this, that the prayers for the children, as said by Reverend Marion, and she asked these children, why do we come to church? And they gave many various answers, but the most interesting one was a young boy who said, so that we don't make God mad. Yes, sometimes God may be annoyed. He has given us instruction in his Bible, in the word, but we choose our different ways. And may we be wise enough. Like somebody said that wise people prepare for the inevitable. And we know that we are all going to die at one point. because in Psalm 139 verse 16 it says that you saw my form or my body before it was formed. And all the days that were fashioned, all that was ordained for me, you knew them even before one of them came to be. So God knows us. He knows where, at what point he'll take you home. So be a wise person by preparing. And you prepare by making Jesus your Lord and Savior. If you don't do that, then you're not prepared to meet your Maker. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.